I'm Rachel Myers, up here in Arthur River doing an artistic residency funded by Arts Tasmania. And the idea of the work is deep listening to place. So the idea of listening to places and other species and considering our own place within all of that. I'm really interested in what it's going to do for my own creative practice, as well as working on something that's been commissioned for a festival for next year.
I'm interested in what it's going to do to your precious fingers, because you've got fingerless gloves on there clutching the violin at the moment. This is a rather cold and rugged environment here at Arthur River.
It is far fiercer than I actually imagined it would be or could be. I've done a lot of listening outdoors while I've been up here, and a lot less playing than I perhaps imagined I would. I think it's been really humbling to spend this much time in the howling wind and, you know, six sets of breakers off the edge of the world. It's been a really sort of internal process, actually, being up here.
And if you're listening to this place, wouldn't you be hearing a lot of white noise, really, at the moment? Literally.
It literally doesn't stop. It's just been howling around in our heads since we got here. This is actually the calmest day in the last 10 days. I didn't come up here with a defined idea of what I was going to walk away with. I just sort of wanted to experience the wind. So I've spent a lot of time just sitting in various spots, but one spot in particular, in a little cove that's fairly sheltered, working on this almost meditative process of what that listening might actually mean. I've been speaking to the rangers, incredible local knowledge, but there's actually nothing like just sitting there and being out there. I've been drawing sketches. I've been drawing them with my eyes closed, actually, just of how that feels to have that white noise all around you all the time, and the different sort of movements and shapes within that sound. So from when I've arrived, the waves have ranged from 3 to 7 metres, and they've been relentless. For anyone who's not actually set foot on this side of the world, you can't even imagine what that actually even looks like, let alone sounds like.
Your instrument, the violin, a lot of people would probably agree with me that it is probably the most powerful of instruments, the most evocative and stirring. It must be a good thing to be clutching when you're looking to respond to the power in the environment here.
It is. I think it's the wood, but it's also really delicate and fragile. And the thought of this old violin being out in that salt, it almost feels like I don't even need to play it anymore. I could just hold these F-holes up to the wind and that would play something that's more evocative of the experience that I'm feeling right now. We've been going out every morning to various spots all around the coast, always in the howling winds, and we've been taking field recordings. So we've got a surround sound mic, a hydrophone, a couple of other little things at our disposal as well, trying to capture different sounds. We've captured a lot of wind, but listening back to them, we're starting to really get a sense of the fierceness of this area.
Are those recordings to act as prompts for composition, or will they actually be incorporated?
I think they'll be incorporated. There's so many different ways you can modify field recordings. They'll be interpreted for compositions as well as for this commissioned work.
Purely with the violin, do you find that this environment is producing a particular emotion that's coming out in the music?
Yeah, I can't stop hearing drones everywhere. So any notes I've been playing could nearly just play the same drone over and over again.
Harmonising with the wind.
I think so. With so much white noise coming through the recordings and through our heads, we've been looking at visuals, taking out certain frequencies and modifying those sounds so that actually these amazingly clear whistle-like tones come through that we can't hear with our ears. It's almost like finding something hidden, a hidden message in the wind.
Might find an audience with dogs too, by the sounds of that.
I'd like to see what my dog was like up here. Joseph Franklin and I met last year and really connected over different ideas about playing music outdoors and what that could actually mean. He's a bass player, recently relocated to Melbourne. I wanted him to come down here with me not just to carry all the field recording gear, but also to collaborate on ideas. It was sort of like-minded in terms of approach to composition.
This particular stay here has been 2 weeks?
Nearly 2 weeks, although it's a good full day of travel each way to Hobart.
Back again in November?
I'll be back for another 2 weeks in November.
What is the outcome you hope for the work that you do here?
Sort of reconsidering what my whole creative practice is and how that's connected to the world around me. The immediate presentation outcome is working on a commissioned piece for Next Wave Festival 2020, a festival for emerging experimental artists. I can't actually speak about the content of what the work is going to be yet. That'll all be released with festival releases early 2020.
My name is Joseph Franklin and I'm a bassist and composer. Recently moved to Melbourne from Sydney.
Joseph, violin seems to just fit. How do you feel that the bass fits into this West Coast environment?
Double bass would have been ideal in this environment. However, it was a bit difficult to get them down here. But same with my instrument that I've brought. The materiality of these wooden instruments and this coastline full of logs, I feel like I'm playing a log from the beach. It's like I've got this big heavy wooden instrument, 6-string. It really feels of the earth to me.
And we've talked about the white noise of the Southern Ocean.
Yeah.
Underneath that white noise, there is a lot of percussion too, isn't there? There's a lot of booming going on.
Yeah, well, contained within the white noise is all the low frequencies, infinitely complex rhythms, infinitely complex melody, all occurring at the same time. Our instruments get swallowed up by the white noise.
Now, you've also landed in 2 weeks of relentless frontal weather, high winds, huge seas. How have you coped with that? Honestly, I mean, it's a wonderful thing you're doing here and you've got a lot of nice things to think about, but is it still a bit maddening, that much wind?
Absolutely. Tenacity. I think we've had to force ourselves to go out even when we don't really want to, and it would be easier to just switch the heater on and sit down in front of some manuscript paper or our instruments and write a tune. But actually just being out there and feeling the wind and your eyes watering and it's freezing and I've misjudged the tide and I've got wet feet, and like it's such an experiential process. It's not actually about the outcome. This residency was funded by Arts Tasmania, which is an incredible residency program they run with no fixed presentation outcomes. It's so about the process of being in Tasmanian places, what that might do for an artist.
Or for Tasmania eventually.
I hope so. I've been pondering this term, ecophony, that I think I coined, you know, bringing together the prefix of eco, surroundings, and phony, sound. Thinking, how do we consider other species? And animals are really cute, perhaps easier to understand than a piece of wood on the beach or bull kelp that's drifted all across the Southern Ocean or the species that live within those kelp forests, and wondering how we actually consider something that's quite inaccessible like the Southern Ocean. If you have proposed a project such as mine, which is so internal and process-based, and to know that that has the support of Arts Tasmania has been really gratifying for me.
Have you been dragged off fishing?
I wish we'd been dragged off fishing. We've been to the Marawa pub a couple of times. It was great. Had some Cape Grim beef. The locals have been nothing but really nice, although most people are driving in this weather. We're not seeing a lot of people walking around the same way we are.
I guess you were thinking, come back in November, it's all different, it's sunny, there's no wind, it's all good. Locals set you straight on that one?
That's exactly what happened. I was hoping for just a little bit more sunshine, a bit of peace maybe, go down to the beach. But I was quickly put in my place that actually November is the windiest month and it's reliable for its intense winds. So that'll be something to behold.